microphones to whisper in your ear tales of bone-chilling horror and endless despair. You are listening to Mad Tower Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 38 of Mad Tower Radio. We're sorry we've been gone, you know, like I just want to start off saying that. It's been a rough week. Elden Ring came out. No sense beating around the bush about it.
Yeah.
But I've also been really busy. I'm getting ready to quit my current job and getting ready to move and blah, 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 blah. And it's very, very soon we'll be able to lift the veil and should tell you all the secrets. Okay. But Ryan, Christian, how have you been?
It's been all right, man. It's been a little cold over here.
God damn it. You can't keep fucking getting away with this, talking about the weather at the beginning of every episode. That being said, we did get snow today.
Oh. In the green room, Christian was like, can we not start the episode with a two-minute discussion about the weather?
Oh.
I was like, why not, dude? People like the weather.
They do. That's our thing. I got a couple of t-shirts made that said Ryan Weatherman. It's like my face with a cloud. Like,
oh my god. This isn't Welcome to Night Vale. They don't do the weather segment.
You're right, dude. It's Mad Tower Radio. We talk about the real weather because we only talk about real things.
Exactly, dude. Like clouds, not real. Those are all, what are they called? The altitude beast that you talked about.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But,
it's an
yeah.
Elden Ring boss up there.
I knew it.
But yeah, we've all been busy playing Elden Ring, getting ready to move on to greener pastures and blah, 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 blah. So we missed a week. Sue us, all right? What the fuck do you want from us? Okay? If you want a consistent episode every week, all right? Subscribe and share this to your friends so that we can do it full time. Huh? Crazy.
If I could quit my job, yeah, you'll get one every week.
Yeah, you make it some in-between, too.
You can get them twice a week.
Shit.
If this is a job, bro, no shot. But anyways, moving it right along. If you've never listened to an episode of Mad Tower Radio before, I promise we just don't talk about Elden Ring and the weather. We talk about cryptids, conspiracies, ghouls, strange history, strange real life occurrences, not true crime because true crime is boring and overdone, but we talk about weird things on this show. And I'm going to go first today.
Ooh.
And I'm coming at you with a little bit of weird history.
Okay.
Do you guys know what a homunculus is?
Yes. It's like a fake, not manufactured, but it's like a creature that is made not from normal means, right? It's like humans make it with like alchemy.
Beast.
Yeah. So it was this weird phenomena, and I thought this was going to be like way earlier, but they were playing around with homunculi in the fucking 1500s, bro.
Oh, sure.
Like, that's pretty fucking recent, all things considered, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought maybe we'd be, like, moved on from this shit by then. But, no. For those of you that don't know, a homunculus is pretty much what Ryan was saying. It's, like, creating life without, like, conception, I guess.
Like Jesus Christ.
Not like Jesus Christ. But in the sense of, like, no human conception or, like, magical conception was needed to make this thing. And I don't know why, but the homunculi always turn out to be like small. They're like a foot tall or less.
Well, yeah, man, like test tube babies.
Yeah, they're like little freaks.
Yeah. And homunculi were first mentioned by the name homunculus by a Swiss physician, theologian, and philosopher, an alchemist, and his name was Paracelsus, and dude was a little fucking whack job, man.
Yeah, I just finished his quest line, actually.
Yeah. So I wanted to do a couple recipes that I found for homunculi, because they are all fucking wild, right? And it's weird too. Like, it's weird. I was trying to look more into the science, and it came from this old school of thought called, like, oh god, it started with a P. It was like procreationism or something like that. I don't know. But it was like this old school thought that, like, they didn't know what DNA was, and they thought that fucking beings, animals, humans were made from a miniature version of themselves that was already perfected. So essentially these dudes thought that, like, sperm cells had a little tiny human inside them that was, like, flying that thing around like an X-wing into the egg, and that's what, like, eventually turned into a human child.
Like a shrinky dink, or
like a tiny little Lego man was piloting the sperm cell,
who then grows and, like, to be a full man.
Yeah, yeah. And that dude knew all the in and outs, all the inner workings that needed to happen when he got to the egg to, like, become a human. I don't fucking know, man. It's, like, weird. Here's like a little fucking illustration of what they thought it looked like.
My man.
Oh, well.
Do you know what that looks like? Have you seen, like, that enemy in, like, One Punch Man? That looks like an enemy in One Punch Man.
I don't fucking know, bro, but it's wacky.
Okay. Well, you know, you said it was a Swiss philosopher, physician, and, like, scientist and alchemist. Those were all the same thing then anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But so operating on the school of thought, they were like, well, if there's just a little man in my sperm,
I've got a whole fleet stored in my balls. What's going on?
Yeah, like, can I do this without needing a woman, right?
A Swiss incel.
Yes. Homunculus creators and alchemists, man. Incels, actually. So check it out. Check out this recipe, right? This is from Paracelsus' own fucking works. He says, the sperm of a man be putrefied by itself in a sealed cucubrit for 40 days, but the highest degree of putrefaction in a horse's womb, or at least so long that it comes to life and moves itself and stirs, which is easily observed. After this time, it will look somewhat like a man, but transparent, without a body. If, after this, it be fed wisely with the arcanum of human blood, and be nourished for up to 40 weeks, and be kept in the even heat of the horse's womb, a living human child grows therefrom, with all its members like another child, which is born of a woman, but much smaller.
So he's already telling me how to grow manlets, is essentially what he's...
I don't... What the fuck does putrefied mean?
I think he means, like, ferment.
Oh,
God, like, bro, that's disgusting.
Like, you're, like, fermenting your cum in a jar for a bit, and then stick it in a horse's womb, and that will is what,
make...
And then add, like, some human blood to it. It'll make the little man.
All of them have to do with, like, you gotta feed it blood.
Well, exactly.
How else would they get blood?
Where does blood come from? Your bones? Shut up, witch.
I don't know,
bro.
I don't know. It's so fucking weird. There's more. Here's another one. I don't know who these are from. They're all from, like, ancient fucking Euro philosophers, whatever, man. You get the gist of it.
Of course.
I'm not here to give you sources. I'm here to tell you funny things. All right? So this recipe consisted of a bag of bones, sperm, skin fragments, and hair from any animal you wanted it to be a hybrid of. This was to be laid in the ground surrounded by horse manure for 40 days, at which point the embryo would form.
That's it?
That one's pretty simple.
I could do that.
That one's easy.
Yeah. Some fucking Anyone bones. What type of bones? Like, wait, was it animal bones or were those human bones?
Whichever one you want.
It didn't specify the bones, you know, just a bag of bones.
That's how they made Animal Crossing characters. That's what, like, that's really what it is.
Dude, they're, like, all homunculi, bro.
I knew it. That's why everyone's so weird on that island, so friendly.
Oh, yeah, man. Moving on to the next one, right? Here we go. Another method of creating homunculi was written of in the medieval text called the Liber Vacae. or Book of Cows. And in this case, the arcane recipe calls for using an actual cow as a sort of surrogate mother for the homunculi. Again, semen is key, and it is to be mixed with a sunstone before artificially inseminating the cow with it, and then the vagina be plugged up with stone, after which the animal is only to be fed the blood of another animal and kept completely out of sunlight. Not even a single ray is to hit the animal at this point, or it will undo the spell. Full disclaimer, I only read like 4 of these before I started just slapping them into my notes. So some of them have not been like scanned.
Giving us like raw, unvetted insanity right now.
Yes.
Okay. My insight's not high enough to process this.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one gets better. Check this out.
I don't think so.
The cow will become pregnant and give birth to a shapeless, writhing mass, which is to be placed within a mixture of ground sunstone, sulfur, magnet, green tuchia, and the sap of a white willow in a large lead or glass bowl. The amorphous blob should then begin to take on a humanoid shape and congeal into a recognizable form, which is then to be kept in the lead container for several days and fed a diet of human blood. If you are successful, this newborn homunculi will also have access to a wide range of abilities.
Come on.
Now this dude gives the spell list for the homunculi, right?
Oh, shit.
His stat block, okay.
Yeah, here it is. If the homunculus is placed on a white cloth with a mirror in its hands and suffumigated with a mixture of human blood and other ingredients, the moon will appear to be full on the last day of the month.
Ooh.
I don't know.
He's got lunar powers?
That's Rana.
I don't know. Maybe if you're just setting up more spells from your Picatrix, like, okay, I need the moon full on the last month, bro. Or on the last of the month.
That's nice. You have your little homunculus son help you cast moon spells.
Or is it like the illusion of the phases of the moon being shifted? Or is this dude like astrologically like bending the universe?
I don't know. If the homunculus is decapitated and its blood is given to a man to drink, the man will assume the form of a bovine or a sheep.
No.
But if he is anointed with it, he will have the form of an ape. So, you know, if you drink your homunculus's blood, you'll get, you can shapeshift. Pretty cool.
I mean, it's like a return on the investment of all that blood that you fed him, right? You need something back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, here's the last power, and this one's a little fucking wild. Right? If the homunculus is fed for 40 days in a dark house on a diet of blood and milk, and then its guts are extracted from its belly and rubbed onto someone's hands and feet, he may walk on water or travel around the world in the blink of an eye.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Oh, sorry, there's one more power. If the homunculus is kept alive for a year, then placed in a bath of milk and rainwater, it will tell things that happened far away.
Nice.
What's that shit called? Prestidigitation?
He's like,
or scrying.
I don't know, scrying.
That's it.
Yeah, it's like a scrying. It's like, hey, there's someone out there peeing in the street.
Mm-hmm. It's 1505. I can see him with my homunculus eye.
I got 2 more.
Cool.
Well, one more recipe and then another account of a homunculus. There's yet another recipe written by a professor of Gießen University in Germany by the name of Dr. David Christianus in the 18th century. The process involved an egg that was to be obtained from a black hen, after which it was to be infused with a small amount of human semen through a hole, then sealed with a piece of the hymen of a virgin, and then buried during the March lunar cycle. If all is done perfectly, then a homunculus is said to break out of the egg and dig its way out to find its new master, who is supposed to feed it earthworms and lavender seeds.
I don't like any of that.
It's not just like, oh yeah, you know, plant this thing and it'll become a little man.
It's hard
like,
work.
Yeah. It is hard work.
Does the homunculus tradition come from like the Jewish golem type thing?
It says it has its roots in golems, sure. You know, but I can't really speak too much of it because I don't know about golems.
You never got through golems. Full Metal Alchemist, did you?
I've never started Full Metal Alchemist.
It's all about Homunculus.
I saw. I was trying to find pictures of Homunculi for the video, and
ooh,
I
look just kept getting
fucking anime.
Bunch of fucking anime dudes. Okay.
I was like, God damn it.
Oh.
So.
There, I mean, there it is. It just got linked to the classic yes, Homunculus
yes,
video.
I love these stupid little videos of dudes being like, I made a Homunculus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like those Russian, and this guy just has like a bunch of like kitchen ingredients in a fucking like little paper cup.
Mm-hmm.
I like this awesome picture you posted here. That dude's like, hey, Pops, get me out of the jar.
This dude's happy about it. In fact, well, I would be pretty happy about it too if I fucking
made life.
If I went through all that work and it actually worked. You know?
No.
If I fucking artificially inseminated a goddamn cow and waited like 10 years or something and fucking fed the fucking cow other animals' blood and it didn't like fall over dead in 2 days. Yeah, I'd be pretty fucking pogged when my homunculus finally got here.
Like,
you know,
my perception of homunculus has been warped by years of Magic the Gathering because they're just like those little Mike Wazowski looking pricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, in this fucking old ass art, they're definitely like just, they look like cherubs, like just tiny
little dudes.
Men.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know where we went wrong that they're like these disgusting fucking creatures, right?
Little disgusting creature.
Now, check out this last little fucking thing I found about homunculuses. Or homunculi. And I was trying to research more about this, but I really just couldn't find anything, and I didn't have time to just go down the rabbit hole. But in 1775, as recent as 1775, Count Johann Ferdinand von Kufstein, together with Abbe Galone, an Italian cleric, is reputed to have created 10 homunculi with the ability to foresee the future, which von Kufstein kept in glass containers at his Masonic lodge in Vienna.
Jeez.
So, yeah. This guy was doing work with his fucking, homunculi, bro.
Did he release them? Like, what came of these beasts?
I don't know.
He's got a damn platoon of them.
I don't know. It sounds like fucking Josefka's clinic, bro.
I was just thinking that.
That's what it is up in there. Little blue dudes in a fucking container.
Oh, the living failures. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's fucking crazy, man. Like, I was trying to find a single unified, like, theory, I guess. Not theory, but, like, what was the point of creating a homunculus, you know?
I mean, they had nothing to do back then. A
little friend?
I guess. Maybe, like, a little lab assistant?
Yeah, like, help clean up the house and shit like that.
I don't know. I mean, the only, like, use I saw out of it was this one with a fucking spell list who can, like, manipulate the lunar cycle or some shit. But, like, that's a lot of fucking work to get this thing born. Like, first you have to have a cow, which that was a lot of money back in the day.
Yeah.
You know? And if you fuck it up, your cow's dying, so that's like a really, really, really big investment.
It kind of feels like it's almost like that's like a rich man's game, that alchemic stuff back then. Because you had to have all this money for those things, like you're saying. Like, you had to have enough money to buy a cow, like a throwaway cow. Man.
The only guy with like a successful fucking, not successful, but the only dude with any like story about it, he was a count.
Yeah.
With, like, the assistance of the fucking Italian clergy, bro.
If you don't have to spend every day of your life performing backbreaking agricultural labor, like, you gotta spend something. Like, your day's gotta be spent doing wizardry.
Exactly. It's like,
I guess, man. Christian, when you were reading Picatrix, did it say anything about homunculi?
You know, I was just looking that up. I feel like there's something in, like, Middle Age Islamic mysticism that had something to say about, like life creation and homunculus stuff, but I couldn't really put my finger on it. There wasn't a lot in the Picatrix per se about creating an avatar or homunculus or anything like that, but there's something in the back of my brain that like
Interestingly enough, it talks about how there's a lot, like there's this, not the word homunculi, but there's like this similar idea in like other cultures, you know? So in Islamic alchemy, there was this thing called taqwin.
Okay.
And it was the goal of like Muslim alchemists to like create false life in a laboratory. Right?
Did it work?
Oh, I don't know, bro. The hell? Maybe, I hope. Tell me more. So, it's weird, man. Like, this stuff was around back then.
Oh,
like,
surely.
They were talking about it in the Bible, you know? So, it's fucking crazy, but I can't find a purpose, you know? Nobody gets that far along in the fucking thing. Probably because it never worked, so people weren't really doing much with their goddamn
creations,
their homunculi.
Well, yeah,
because even if it did work, it sounded like the thing just keeled over and died in like 4 days or something.
That, or you get just like a disgusting, rotten mass of like blood and flesh, and it's horrible.
Just like a gore pile. Yeah,
yeah, that'll like discourage you. You're like, well, that didn't work. Kind of stinks
too. If that was me, and like. That like it failed, you know, like I fucking did all this horrible shit to my fucking cow, like my one money making object in life, you know, and like, and this failed and my cow just keeled over, died with like fucking shitloads of alchemical ingredients just pouring out of it, I would like be ashamed, man. I would be like, and I never should have fucking bought this Picatrix, bro. Now my cow's dead.
Now my cow's infected and it's got a man's head.
Yeah. Never should have fucking bought this Picatrix.
Oh,
it's like some guts berserk enemy.
I found this story of the 10 homunculi that were grown by Johan. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Check it out. So I'm going to read you this little short story. It says, okay. No two homunculi looked the same, and to each was affixed an identity. 8 were physical mannequins, known as the king, the queen, the knight, monk, nun, seraph, and miner, and architect. And no. Clothes pertinent to their identities were made for them.
No.
Each of these was fed special rose water tablets every 3 to 4 days, and their water was changed once a week. On one occasion, the king homunculus escaped from his jar and was earnestly trying to remove the seal on the jar holding the queen when the Count's butler chased him, and he fainted from exposure to the air and was put back into his little jar. The remaining 2 non-humanoid homunculi were non-corporeal and would only appear when he tapped on their jars chanting magical words. A face would then materialize over the jar in liquid and turn blue.
No!
2 spirit homunculi had a horrible expression on their face and was fed a thimbleful of animal blood once a week. All 10 homunculi would answer questions concerning future events and predict correctly their outcomes. There you go.
That's so fucking dumb.
That was way cooler. They're like little gremlins.
Yeah, man. This sounds like fucking the medieval version of like sea monkeys or some shit.
He knitted them little clothes.
Little knight armor.
According to their class.
These were just little pets before little pets were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we could have just given these guys hamsters and they wouldn't have done all this fucked up shit to this animals.
Horrifying science.
Oh, man. That's fucking awesome.
That's crazy. That was good fun. I didn't expect so much horror to come out of the homunculi theory.
Oh, yeah, dude. Homunculi are fucking... It's cool. And, you know, to cap it off, homunculi inspired a lot of, like, conceptually... homunculi inspired a lot of fiction, like Frankenstein.
Oh,
that's it.
I mean, you now that you mention it, I feel that.
No, I mean, there's more stuff, but it's like just stuff that I haven't heard of, you know. But like, it's been like a lot of people talk about it in what is it? They say being John Malkovich was inspired by homunculi.
No way.
Good thing I've never seen that film.
I've also never seen that film. I don't know what it's about.
It's about someone like entering John Malkovich's ear and controlling him. I imagine it's about him.
John Malkovich.
No, it's literally about someone entering like his ear and controlling him like a Gundam.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Bro, that's the homunculi.
I mean, yeah, they have the little sperm pilots, so it only makes sense.
The sperm pilots are the funniest fucking thing, dude. Look at them. They're, like, covering up their little wieners.
They're going to be, like, homunculus theory inspired Osmosis Jones.
It's true.
Fucking Osmosis Jones. Yeah,
so we're actually all going to try one of these this weekend. Who owns a cow? Who's going to do that one?
I don't produce enough blood, I think, to feed this creature.
I don't produce enough money to purchase a cow, so...
We can all just try. The cheapest one looks like bag of bones, sperm, skin fragments, and hair, and horse manure. Like, that one's pretty easy. I don't know about the one where, like, you fucking store it in a horse's womb and then, like, check on it. How are you going to check?
You got to get the telescope into the horse pussy. It's that simple. What?
Oh, I hate that.
I mean, it's right there in the instructions. Weird.
You know there were dudes out there that read these and they were like, their wife caught him out in the barn and this dude's like just going to town on the cow. And he's like, honey, no, I'm trying to make a, I'm making a homunculus, please. Please.
For real, please, blab.
Babe, no.
I hate that.
And then that guy was crucified by the church.
That guy was crucified for being sideways.
Rightfully so, they bled him.
And from that's his body awesome. Sprouted a homunculus.
It worked, bro. But yeah, weird science, dude. Humans are fucking dumb back in the day, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And bored.
And bored, man. Playing with their sea monkeys, you know? Little bunch of freaks in a jar that can see the future.
My little future sight freakers I keep in the jar. I feed them 3 tablets of blood.
No, it was a thimble of blood. It was 3 tablets of rose water.
Fuck.
You're fucking up the spell, Christian. You're not going to get a homunculus.
He's going to give me like false readings.
A pile of gore that tells you the future. You're going to fucking die, kid.
Like a little packet of shredded beef I keep in like a box under my bed. And he's just
going to start pulsing.
Exactly. And he'll tell me things.
Oh, apparently homunculi would also like run away.
Oh, sure.
Or, like, would, like, try to... Like, they, like, wanted to kill stuff.
I would, too.
Because they wanted to have a soul. Or something. I don't fucking know.
Or something.
It kind of gets into the weeds about, like, what the homunculus wants. Like
To be born normally.
Yeah.
A demented, soulless creature. It never wanted to be here. It's just, like, a flesh pillar.
Yeah, hell yeah, the flesh pillar.
It's false life, bro. But yeah, I mean, that's my little section on homunculi. I'm ready to move on from this. It's kind of gross.
It's kind of gross.
Sweaty.
Yeah, I don't feel good about that one.
I don't know how I feel about what I've just done.
Yeah.
What about you, Ryan? What do you got for me today?
Nothing. Okay. I didn't know we were doing this, man. I thought I was prepared for Smasher Pass for cryptids.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I got something. A
little teaser trailer? Yeah, that's right. We're making some more videos. Me and Ryan are going to do, Markiplier. And he did the Smasher Pass.
Y'all know Markiplier.
Well, we're
going to
do the same thing with cryptids.
Cryptids and ghosts and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do, what's the other one we're going to do? Fight or Flight. That one's going to be exciting.
That was my
compromise. Christian was like, Christian said, I'm not going to get in front of camera and talk about what cryptids I want to fuck. And we were like, well, we'll do it without you. Then we were like, well, Christian was like, why don't we do like cryptids Fight or Flight? And I'm like, okay, well, we'll do both. So
it you know, podcast. I mean, we already kind of touched. It's a give or take, give and take.
We already kind of touched on the fight or flight and the goat man. I was like, I beat the shit out of the goat man.
Exactly. So if you liked that segment, it's just going to be an evolved version of that.
And you could see our faces. We're going to go. We're going to come in and cosplay for our favorite cryptids.
Exactly, dude.
I'm going to come in covered in a bunch of ground beef, and I'm going to be a
homunculus. I'm just a wet jar.
Oh, no.
I'm the failed homunculus cow. I have a stone in my vagina.
Go fucking rock coke in me, bum. I'm a homunculus cow.
Don't cut that out, Christian. You better not.
Nope. I wouldn't.
This episode is X-rated.
Heck yeah. Gonna get copyright struck or like fucking like TOS struck.
Yeah, DMCA'd.
Yeah. Okay, we just mentioned homunculus in Funimation.
No more homunculus talk. Let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's get out of ancient Europe. Okay, so you know, I actually do this fucking rutabaga that you posted. So I'm getting back into reading some H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh.
He is one of my favorite authors, if not my favorite author of all things science fiction. Some call him the grandfather of sci-fi horror. I just call him H.P. Lovecraft because the other one's too long. So, when I found out that we were doing it like a regular episode today, I was scrambling. So I started looking for some topics, and I had the iconic Call of Cthulhu open, and on another tab I had At the Mountains of Madness. So I was, and that got me thinking, what are like some cryptids or creatures or things like that? Has anything like that ever been encountered here by us mortals? You know, in these sci-fi, you know, fake stories, these works of fiction, air quote. You know, like there's stories of like creatures being seen by expedition teams, or like sailors see something like in Dagon. Well, I wanted to see if we actually had any encounters like that. So I don't know if you all remember, but back when I was talking about the UFO, like the meteor that was shot down over Russia. Mm-hmm. I'd mentioned Lake Vostok. Now, yes. What exactly Lake Vostok is, it is the largest of Antarctica's subglacial lake. So there's essentially 2 miles of glacier above a lake. What? Yeah. Like, so it's like literally like there's like the ice shelf that we walk on. There's a lake 2 miles below that.
Okay.
That has never been touched before.
Hate that.
Exactly. Some scientists believe that the environment there is similar to like the environments you would find on like the ice lakes of like Jupiter's moons and stuff like that. That's how what they think it's like down there. So, being in Russia and them not caring about anything or anyone, they said there is. So essentially, I love this because it sounds so fake, but if it's true, you know, nuts to you, McGillicuddy. That's a really cool story. But there is a story apparently that there, you know, there's a research station there, the Vostok Research Station. That's what they named the lake after. And apparently there had been a Russian scientist who had defected to the United States, and he was kind of airing out Putin's dirty laundry in terms of what goes on in this lake. So what he said happened is, like, on the official reports, there was not an expedition done there, but essentially what had happened was they were taking some ice samples, like where they core down, and they just pull up like a cylinder of like ice and sediment from way down there just to kind of analyze what it's like. So that's what they had said had been done there, and so what this scientist says something else happened, and essentially what he said happened to us is that they bored out a giant elevator.
Oh.
All the way to the bottom, to the actual lake.
I like where this is going.
Exactly. So I immediately was like, Mountains of Madness, I'm getting hot and bothered. It's getting sweaty in the room as I'm reading this. And so he says that they you know, go down there as a team, a scientific team, in some type of high-tech diving gear. at the time, and this was all like black ops. No one could know about it. As what he was saying is essentially what they were going to tell the public was that we found some nice samples down there. Well, that was hard to explain why a bunch of the scientists went missing during its sample retrieval.
Ooh.
So apparently they go down there, and they apparently, according to this defector, his name was Dr. Anton Padalka.
Oh, okay.
They encountered something called what they call Organism 46B. Oh. A 33-foot, 14-tentacled, squid-like organism that lived in this subterranean lake. It could release a toxin that would paralyze you in the water, where it would then rip you apart.
Spread.
Oh, no. Do they have... Like... You know, like, I immediately was like, this is an SCP. An SCP is broken loose, and now it's just running around in the wild of the internet, and people are saying it's real. Mm-hmm. Apparently, yeah, this has been around for a while. Exactly. I immediately thought SCP. This is something like an SCP would do, but it's not on the SCP website. This is something totally different. And so, essentially, they kept going down. He was part of the first dive team that went down there, and... he says his lifelong friend was killed by the creature, and they went back up. Okay. And they went back down to go get more information on this creature. And what had happened was they went down there and said, you know, the water's murky. They thought that they could see in the distance, another scuba diver coming towards them.
No.
And like, oh my gosh, did someone else come down here? And one of the divers kind of like broke formation and went out to go see him. And yes, that's right, the thing can shapeshift, and it turned into the creature and ripped the guy's head off. So not only can it paralyze you, but it can also shapeshift.
Who told this story? This
is the scientist. He's seeing his friend just get murked front, like left, right, front, and center. Okay. You know? So, also, it has been, from one of the other people that it had supposedly killed, it somehow used like a pheromone to hypnotize them because the guy pulled his rebreather out and smiled and flew and swam towards it, and then it ate him. Yo. One of the other people with them cut off one of the tentacles when it attacked them as they were trying to go back up the elevator. They got the tentacle back up to the base camp, and it came back to life and strangled her.
This sounds like The Thing.
Kind of, right? Like The Thing, and The Thing was inspired by at the Mountains of Madness, like this creature that's down there, and of course it's in Russia. And I almost didn't bring this. I was like, this is just so wacky that it just sounds fake. But that's what this is all about, because apparently there was sightings of it. There's like, you know, like apparently somewhere in the Kremlin that there's documents of it. Not only that, exactly. They were according to this
Ukraine.
According to this person, they were able to sedate the creature and take it out of the lake and bring it to Moscow, where he claims that Vladimir Putin is looking to weaponize Organism 46B and use its pheromone in warfare.
No, are you telling me a joke right now?
Nope, not according to Dr. Padalka, whatever his name is.
That last part wasn't a joke. About weaponizing its pheromones.
Exactly. See, that's all. It's all coming full circle right now.
They're gonna pump the Lenin body with the alien goo and work him like an Evangelion unit.
Just make a homunculus, bro.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. An army of homunculuses that can spray out the pheromone that makes you happy. So that being said, no one has been able to contact this doctor, apparently because he's in hiding from Russia. A big thing too is that he holds that they were digging for core samples. Well, when you're digging for a core sample, that's literally like a small cylinder. So that core sample is not the same as giant, you know, fashioning a giant elevator into the ice sheet and
descending the tunneling hole.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that's not, you know, coring. So, mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, is it probably fake? No. But it's a fun story nonetheless. So I was reading that and I was like, what, you know, this is so Lovecraftian, like you were saying, Christian. It very, very much reminds people of, like, At the Mountains of Madness or The Thing, especially when, you know, good old Organism 46B broke out the shape-shifting on these guys. You know, they weren't ready for it, but it just ticked all the boxes of a creature that I was, or, like, of a story that I was really feeling coming hot off the heels of some H.P. Lovecraft.
The story also really reminds me of Adrian Tchaikovsky's Children of Ruin. It's a sci-fi book, and like this astronaut lands on this planet and like a turtle stabs him through his suit, and it's because it has like bacteria in it or something, like a shape-shifting like entity inside of the turtle. And then it gets into the astronaut's bloodstream and, like, works him like a puppet. And it sounded a lot like this thing that was attacking the scuba divers. Like, it would pretend to be a human and then just start ripping people apart.
See? I think we've got something here, guys.
There's something going on.
That's fucking crazy.
Right? Like, I just was like, this is so bonky wonkies. Bring it to me.
That's exactly what I want to talk about.
Yeah, it's, like, good fun. It's, like, you know, this is, like... probably not real, but that's the stuff that you wanna, that people come here to listen to, you know?
I mean, who are we gonna believe? This defector?
This defector to the motherland?
Yeah.
About I keep wanting to say Organization 13, but that's not what it is. We've got Xemnas down there in Lake Vostok.
Underneath. Is that a picture of this thing I'm looking at right now?
Yeah, that's apparently what it looks like.
That's a Bloodborne enemy.
That doesn't like a Bloodborne. It's like a fucking amygdala.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah, so that's mine, you know. That's that's my crazy cryptid.
That's Squidward.
That's my crazy cryptid.
What the fuck is this? So it looks like it's my turn, yeah?
Yeah, close us out.
Okay. Well, once again, I was in my quest to review and analyze, like, all around the globe cryptids. Like, I'm pushing it back as long and hard as I can to not talk about, like, the Jersey Devil or the fucking Bigfoot. Like, I want to keep the North American common boys off this show until I'm desperate.
Yeah, good luck. That's why I'm talking about fucking homunculi.
So, in that search... I came across a creature that a couple people might know. I think it was on like a Monster Quest or one of those like early 2010s Discovery shows. Today for you, I have the Ropen, the Demon Flyer.
Ooh.
Have either of you heard this creature or watched the Monster Quest episode?
No, nope. I haven't.
Okay. Well, it's coming to us from the islands of Papua New Guinea. And is popularly depicted as like a flying, featherless, sort of pterodactyl-like creature.
Yeah.
And its main sort of unique feature is its long tail that is glowing, like it has a bioluminescence to the end of it.
Can you spell it for me?
R-O-P-E-N. Okay. And I think it's pronounced Ropen. I just kind of went crazy with it.
Well, this shit looks like a... pterodactyl.
Yeah, it's just a pterodactyl in the jungle. It's described as a piscivore. It uses its little tail to lure fish up to the surface of the ocean, and then it snatches them up and eats them.
So this is like one of them actual cryptids where it's like just a pretty normal animal, but no one's ever seen it before.
Well, it's, you know, a combination of, is it a survived dinosaur and this right. sort of folklore, like it's got lights on its tail.
So I like that stuff.
it's got kind of an evolution to it. And
yeah, people are saying it's a paraglider.
You mean like a dude with wings on his back, like the Batman?
Yeah.
Nah, it ain't like that.
It's a dude glide.
So the reason that I found this creature particularly interesting is the sort of like philosophical debate that has been sort of bred on this creature's investigations, and it's become like this ideological war.
Okay.
So I'm going to sort of lay the groundwork for y'all first. There are two camps when it comes to the study of the Ropen.
Okay.
There are the evolutionists and the creationists.
The age-old battle.
Exactly. So first up, in the evolutionist camp, we have the entomologist and famous British scientist Evelyn Cheeseman.
Okay.
She is a early 1900s, like I said, entomologist, so that's a professor of bugs, who...
Ah, that's who I'm going to trust on the pterodactyl cryptid.
Well, she was doing expeditions in the South Pacific and in the surrounding areas, and over the course of, like, cataloging and... identifying all these bugs, she began to hear the local myths of the Ropen and this sort of creature that was like lighting up the night and sometimes, you know, scaring people as it was coming on by. Mm-hmm. And she spent some of her time and some of her, you know, educated energies to sort of investigate this creature. And she was firmly dismissing of any kind of human answer to the glowing lights. Yeah. And the rope end creature. She said it's not going to be any kind of aeroplane or flying creature or flying machine, I should say. And that she quoted to have seen the lights out in the distance.
Hmm.
So we've got her on one side.
Okay. Saying it's real?
Yeah, very, very in the it's real camp. And it's a creature that was either like an evolved pterodactyl or a misidentified giant fruit bat.
Yeah, that's coming up a lot in what I'm searching.
Yeah, are you
saying it's a bat?
Have you seen how big some of these like fruit bats get?
Oh, they're huge.
Massive.
Dog. They're
massive
huge
creatures.
Exactly. So like one of the main components of this story is shut up, it's a bat.
Okay. Fair.
Shut up, it's a bat.
But the more interesting and more cracked side, I should say, is the creationist camp. Now, do you know what a creationist is?
Yes.
Can you give me a little 1-2 for the boys at home?
I mean, creationist is pretty broad, but in a general sense, it's like everything was created. Some, like, I guess,
like
most commonly,
power.
It's associated with religion.
Exactly. The people who subscribe to a manufactured reality, or be it some deity or some divine sort of touch for the most part. And between the years of 1994 and 2004, so way after Evelyn, like 100 years or so, these cryptozoologist creationists led a tour to Papua New Guinea to try and find proof of the Ropen.
Okay.
Because they believed that the Ropen lights and this specific creature was a beast described in the Bible and was the perfect proof for creationist philosophy.
What beast in the Bible?
So I'm going to give you the text right now.
Okay.
This is from Isaiah. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from which came the young and old lion and the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They use the interpretation of this verse to say that the Ropen is the fiery flying serpent mentioned in Isaiah, and that if they can prove that this thing exists, they can prove that, you know, creationism is true.
Weird flex.
It's also goes into sort of the root word of like seraph and seraphim, like the angelic beast. It was originally a more like a fiery snake sort of connotation.
Really?
And that, like, if you looked up in the sky and you saw one of those like six-winged angels flying, it could kind of look like a pterodactyl with its wings spread out and like the back wing sort of creating the long, like, unfurling.
That's interesting.
And then Isaiah continues and says, "Rejoice not thou, whole Palestinia, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruits will be the fiery flying serpents." And that is in reference to, I believe, a pagan entity who was more associated with the serpent and the flying creatures that they're using reference to.
I see. Huh.
So these dudes, I can give you their names. They are Carl Bau, Paul Nation, Jonathan Whitecomb, Garth Gessman, and David Wolzel.
Garth Gessman. What a name.
They went over to Papua New Guinea, and they were like, "By God, we want to find these dudes. We want to find these creatures to prove our point."
Uh-huh.
And they were reporting these sightings of these featherless, long-tailed pterodactyls, and they sounded exactly like this specific kind of pterosaur whose name is far too long for me to pronounce correctly, but the main characteristic of them was this long, like, diamondy rhombus tail on the back. And they said, you know, that's it, that's the creature we're looking for, boys, tag it and bag it. Like the Bible said.
That's him. That's a Bible beast. Get him. That's so funny. There's so many. The Bible mentions so many wacky creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, they didn't know how to describe things.
It's like it was breathing fire. Rap.
They were like the beast with one and four arms. What does that mean, dude?
It's like any, like, quadruped land mammal.
Just say four arms, you fucking demon. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, nobody knew how to draw either, so, like, everything is so left up to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just get all this wacky shit. It's pretty funny when you talk about old stuff.
No.
Like, even in the fucking, what is it? You were talking about homunculi earlier. He just says, yeah, it'll be a small man. Like, how small, bro?
You know, small man.
What about like the just proportions? Small. Like, is he gonna have little feet and knees, or
is he gonna be all chest and legs?
Like, exactly. Is he gonna be chest, no leg?
Is it gonna be Mike Wazowski?
I knew it.
I didn't know the cockatrice was mentioned in the Bible, though.
Oh, they got dragons. They got cockatrice. They got hydras. And, bro. Yeah, they go crazy on that one.
It's funny, man, because the cockatrice is like some D tier enemy you fight in Final Fantasy. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Fat. It's like plump chicken.
It is. It's kind of just like fat chicken, yeah. But his baby is the rope end, the flying serpent.
That's cute.
And the whole sort of basis on this theory is that fiery can sort of be nudged into mean bioluminescent or glowing or like light.
Right.
Like, you think that little sort of nudge in language is acceptable in this instance?
I think so, because what produced any, like there was nothing there that would produce light other than fire back then.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Bible scholars, but isn't Isaiah like talking about like Egypt and Palestinia, like not, you know, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea?
That was in Pangaea. They were right next to each other, you know.
Yeah.
Does the Bible take place in Pangaea? Did I forget that part?
Yeah, bro.
Dude, you didn't read the fucking forward where it's just like, oh, BT dubs, Pangaea.
Plus it flies, dude.
This is post-flood. There was no continental mega shift.
I mean, I have to consult.
It was in the Apocrypha.
Yeah, dude, the cooler books of the Bible.
It's in the director's cut, bro.
The Snyder Cut Bible?
Now, there's one more catch to the rope end that I would like you both to hear about. So, after the boys, the old, 6,000-year-old Earth motherfuckers, went down to Papua New Guinea and, like, rustled up all the locals and tried to find these lizards, they came back to North America, and the number of pterosaur sightings in the Pacific Northwest just fucking shot up into the sky.
Of course.
Just started rising exponentially, and it like became this infested story that maybe they came back with them, maybe like the expedition somehow accidentally released these beasts into the North America. But now the glowing lights and the large bat-like or pterosaur-type creatures can now be seen in the western United States.
Well, damn.
There is a story. I'm going to try and find it for you. There it is, though. You put it in the Discord. You can see that picture of the Civil War guys who shot down the pterosaur.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
That's a part of this story. That's like some of the shit that these guys were going off of, and they said, "See, it's the Bible beast right there."
That's him, Bible beast.
And Robert E. Lee killed him.
the dynamic duo of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson hunting biblical creatures.
Hunting down the homunculi. That's a good one. Nice little interesting cryptid. You know, Christian's always here to keep us in check, you know? I'm like, I'm going to talk about some wacky fucking dude shoving rocks in his fucking cow's eyes so that he can, like, give birth to a tiny little Lego man. And fucking Ryan's out here talking about, like, oh yeah, this Russian defector was telling us about Putin's giant squid army that's able to lob a nuke farther than a fucking IBCM. And Christian's like, look at this actual cryptid.
me and you, we like to have fun on the show.
I'm here to be a schizo, okay?
Schizo moments, talking about fucking cow uifas and farts and stuff, man. It's wild over here in Mad Tower. Is everything okay, Christian?
No, it's all good. I'm reveling. And maybe if you're listening, you can see why I maybe don't want to get on camera and talk about which werewolf you want to fuck or not.
He'll be there. Don't worry about it, guys.
On God, you will not find me. Maybe in the editing room, but not on tape.
I use my deepfake technology.
Yeah. We're going to deepfake you onto the werewolf.
No, no. I will not be taking part in that.
We're going to make it sing the Fortnite song. Chug Victory Jug with Royale. You.
Tomato yeah. Town.
We're gonna have Christian doing that on like a permanent loop up in the corner right next to mine and Ryan's face cam.
You know how it's official Mad Tower policy to not buy a book to research any of these topics?
Yes. Yeah.
I was kinda on the fence about this one because one of the dudes who led the expedition actually wrote a book called Searching for the Rope Ends.
That's kinda cool.
And like It's crack job shit.
Really?
Like, to sort of nudge the policy in a specific direction, I don't want to buy, like, an actual, like, well-thought-out, like, research text, but if it's the ramblings of a psychopath, I kind of want that.
Can we do, like, an audiobook of it?
I mean, we already broke the fucking, the policy. I bought you Pick-A-Tricks for Christmas.
Exactly. That was different. That was like a present. That was like a gift among friends.
I exploited for content.
It's true. It is true. Fuck it, man. Buy the book. Report back.
I mean, I didn't go into it, but this book and the sort of press that the expedition caused led to like 1,400 sightings of a pterosaur in the United States.
Jeez.
And it was almost cataloged as like a mental health crisis.
That kind of reminds me of what's it called, that story about like in Italy where people were like, oh yeah, it's happening now, like, and then they started like seeing it and stuff like that.
It's almost exactly like that. Like if one person gets enough hype around a sighting, it explodes.
Jeez. Or maybe Ben was hiding on the ship and followed them home.
Or like Jurassic Park 2, they accidentally brought the dinosaur to the mainland. Yeah, maybe exactly. You're right. I'm done. Rope End sucks. He's a shitter cryptid.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
Segment's over.
Bro, Rope End's better than like Russia Squid
I like Russia Squid.
Russia Squid was cool. I don't know, man. You just gotta find the cracked out shit, Christian. Start talking about homunculi. You know?
Sometimes they can't all be marble hornets. They can't always have like 6 hours of prep to them. Sometimes you find a shitty little lizard and you gotta like make a story about it and you sort of fashion that.
I did that with the Kuwok.
We start embellishing, adding bits of our own stuff to the legend.
Eventually, exactly. I'm gonna just be out here making up cryptids.
Well, that'll be fun. We'll make like a cryptid generator program.
There's room in this show for just, you know, falsehoods.
Yeah. Don't be surprised, audience, when one day we're behind this mic just lying to you.
And you'll be none the wiser, because we could say that shit with conviction.
It's never happened in these 38 episodes. I have not told one singular falsehood.
No, never. Well, folks, I think that's about going to wrap it up for us today. Expect more episodes. Expect, you know, just more shit on the channel, because my time's about to free up exponentially. And I'm canceling Ryan and Christian on Twitter, so their time is about to free up exponentially, too.
Oh, no.
Also, that's what all those notifications are. Okay.
If you want to tell us your ghost story, you can find us at supermadtower@gmail.com. Email us. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Mad Tower Radio. Comment on this video, DM us, whatever. Just get a hold of us, tell us your story, and we'll tell it on the show. Make sure you subscribe, and if you're listening on Spotify, rate us 5 stars, please, if we've earned it. That's pretty much going to do it for this episode of Mad Tower Radio. This has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.
If I had anything to say. I didn't, but he didn't ask. I was actually gonna say, hey, if you're one of the 10 people that listens, thanks.